and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, prepping for the fight against HIV. We begin with Mayor Michael B. Coleman announcing a string of initiatives to improve police and community relations in Columbus. The mayor, Council President Ginther, and Safety Committee Chair Klein asked Police Chief Kim Jacobs to hold a series of community meetings to better understand residents' concerns about policing in our city. The results of the conversations are being paired with national and state initiatives to build a better understanding and, in some cases, improve police actions. Here's Mayor Coleman.
I come to you today in the wake of events that have been unfolding around our country and in cities around our country. From Ferguson to Baltimore to other cities, we've watched many communities rise in protest over increasingly strained relationships as between our public safety officers and our citizens. I am here today, and we are all here today, because we want Columbus to know that we're very sensitive to these issues. And we want to make sure that these issues of strife does not rise in our city. So I think we have a great team in City Hall, building and maintaining a safe community, both within our Division of Police and among our leadership in City Hall. We have a very strong City Council committed to improving our city by reducing crime and doing those things necessary to fund those initiatives that make reducing crime important in our city. Chief Kim Jacobs is successfully leading our Division of Police, making sure our officers are carrying out their duty to protect and serve our residents and our neighborhoods. And she's doing an outstanding job in that regard. And then George Speaks, my safety director, has been focused on community policing with the goal of mutual trust and respect between our officers and our citizens and administering a great division of both fire and police. Let me start out by saying I support our police officers. I'm proud of the work they do. I truly believe that Columbus has the very best division of police in the nation. Our officers are well trained and prepared to handle tough situations. In Ohio, basic training for police officers is 605 hours. In the city of Columbus, CPD far exceeds the state requirements, requiring 1,250 hours of training to become a police officer. Our officers work hard every day to protect our citizens, our streets, and our communities. And I think they're doing a great job. I'm proud of them. They enforce the law, and they do so in a professional manner. They are held to the highest of standards, the highest of standards of conduct, respect, professionalism, and integrity, and many other standards. We as a community expect a lot of our officers. And just as we have high expectations of officers, we as a community should recognize that the job of a police officer is one of the toughest jobs in America. I can't think of a tougher job there is to fight crime and to interact with our community. It is a very tough job. And just as we have high expectations of our police officers, citizens have an obligation to interact well with our police officers as well, with respect and dignity. It's a two-way street on both sides. But trust is essential in any relationship. It's essential. And that's why we're here today. So let us build upon the foundation of trust in our community. So we must look to improve and change as times change. We see on the front pages every day the tensions between police officers and the community. When I took office in the year 2000, our police department was in a state of crisis. The U.S. Department of Justice had filed this complaint that alleged excessive use of force, false arrests, failure to adequately train, supervise, and monitor police officers, and other complaints, all in this complaint back in 1999, October of 1999. And so our city, when I took office in the year 2000, we had to look hard at ourselves, and we did. We looked hard at ourselves, and we made drastic changes to improve our policies and practices. Reform is what we had in the year 2001. And so, through communications between myself and the Department of Justice, we developed a series of actions and reform in our Division of Police that made us substantially better, that made us the best division of police in the country. So here we are, 14, 15 years later. And we looked hard at ourselves back in 2001. It's now time to look hard at ourselves again. Earlier this year, I asked Chief Kim Jacobs to host 5 community meetings. And she and the command and many others went to neighborhoods all over the city of Columbus and outreached the community and said, come talk to us. Let's communicate. Let's understand these tensions. And let's talk about it. They were very productive. Chief Jacobs got an earful. She heard a lot and brought that back, and from those we come here today. It's not only happening in the city of Columbus, the President of the United States is engaged in a task force. The governor has developed a task force. Mike DeWine has, the Attorney General has developed a task force. Everybody's developed a task force. But we're here to address the city of Columbus, taking parts and bits of all those that are coming together and will come together into the future. As a result of these efforts and ongoing conversations across the nation, we have decided to put together a new plan that will further improve community policing in the city of Columbus. Our goal remains to protect our citizens from crime and violence while building the trust relationships that are essential in a great city. And although I think we're doing a good job, we can always do more to get better. We can always do more to improve. And like I always say, a city that stays the same falls behind. And so we are charged to do better and to do more as a result. To that end, the first item I want to address is body cameras. I've always been a big supporter of cameras. When I first took office, my first state of the city in the year 2000, I mandated cameras in our cruisers back then. It happened. It served as a useful tool to protect our citizens and our police. Then, in the year 2011, City Council and myself, they helped funded it. 200 cameras in our neighborhoods, and they help deter crime and to protect our residents. It worked and is working. Now today I'm recommending that we move towards body cameras in the city of Columbus. This can be another tool to protect police as well as our citizens together. And while I support body cameras, I have serious concerns about very practical and important issues with respect to their use. One is privacy. Two is the training of our officers. And the biggest is its cost. It's substantial. So with dash cameras and neighborhood cameras, we're not entering into private homes. With body cameras, the potential is you could enter into the privacy of one's own home. And without addressing the issue of privacy of body cameras, anything and everything is subject to public review. Remember that. Anything and everything is subject to public review under current state law. Therefore, before we walk down this path of body cameras, we must change the state law. State law needs to be changed if we're going to use body cameras as an effective tool for policing. In respect to training, we need to understand the protocol, when, how, who uses body cameras, and in what situations, and when they'll be activated. Important questions to ask. And then finally, the cost of body cameras. The city of Columbus is not in a position to bear the full cost of body cameras. It's an extraordinarily expensive proposition. And so we must approach it in this way. If the state government wants to be helpful, if the federal government wants to be helpful on the issues of body cameras, then they need to help fund it in the city of Columbus and other cities around the country and the state of Ohio. So, my proposal is that we create a 9-person committee to address each of those issues. And the 9-person committees will be representative of citizens, division personnel, and the Fraternal Order of Police. We have to come together, all of us together, and figure this out together. There's no magic bullet here. So as we move towards body cameras, let's be smart about their use and effective about their use, and understand when they can be used, when they should not be used. And the worst thing that could happen is these body cameras and the production, the invasion of privacy on these body cameras doesn't result in some entrepreneur getting a hold of all these private matters and having their own TV show, their own internet show. That's something to be concerned about. I'm not concerned about the media. I'm concerned about entrepreneurs that uses the privacy of body cameras in a negative way that impacts circumstances in a bad way. Next, I want to also look at our internal affairs review process. In 2001, the IAB, Internal Affairs Bureau, went through a major reform, as I just talked about. They included assigning all citizen complaints to the IAB for investigation, ensuring investigative process is thorough, and relocating internal affairs outside of police headquarters for ease of access of citizens. In addition, it ensured that and complaints were not reviewed by supervisors, but by a third party. Those are just a few of those changes, but there were many changes made back in those years. But here we are 14 years later, and I believe it is time to take another look at ourselves to ensure our work is comprehensive, fair, thorough, and objective when it comes to internal affairs review complaint system. So to that end, I will ask an independent third-party expert to review our IAB procedures and make recommendations to ensure that we are aligned with national best practices, and then to come back with recommendations. And finally, we'll look at further enhancing community relations. Police community relations is a two-way street. Police knowing the community, and the community knowing our police. We have to build trust on both sides. So, in doing so, we have several other initiatives of community outreach that need to take place, as well as the community working with the police. And so Chief Jacobs is here. She's been very helpful, open, and communicative to the public. These five community meetings were very, very important because it sets the stage to how we go forward. And I want to thank her for being open, straightforward, and working with the community in the way that she does every day. Chief Jacobs.
I want to thank the mayor for his support and his leadership on this, and his concern for the safety of this city's citizens and the personnel who serve and protect them is always very obvious to me. I appreciate working with the mayor, his staff, Director Speaks, and council on this project, and promise to continue our efforts in building more trust between our community members and our division personnel. And Director, I thank you for your involvement, assistance, and guidance throughout the process in helping shape this plan. One of the reasons the division sought to be accredited years ago was our desire to follow best practices and to be accountable to our community. Seeking improvement is how we remain a professional organization and why we can deliver excellent public service. Clearly, though, questions about policing in general, and particularly about race relations, are on the minds of many. We acknowledge that there are tensions. It is apparent that we need to do more. And these initiatives will allow us an opportunity to explore the expectations our community has for us, as well as how we can build a relationship with everyone that is built on transparency, accountability, and communication. In picking up on the mayor's desire for us to know our community and for our community to know our police, the best way that I have found to develop good relationships is in person and by sharing information. I brought just a sample of our handouts that we distribute to all of our community members at our community meetings and various other places that talk about our community engagement and outreach activities. At our community meetings that we held on all five zones, we met with hundreds of community members. Those meetings were so beneficial that we will make them an annual occurrence on each of our zones. That's one step. Another step is that we're going to mandate training every year for all of our sworn personnel that addresses communication skills, diversity and biases, and de-escalation tactics and techniques. We are already finishing up training our officers this year in those subjects, and we'll make that part of the annual mandatory curriculum. We were fortunate this year to work with Dr. Sharon Davies of the OSU Kerwin Institute on implicit bias training, and I want to thank her for sharing her research with us. Additionally, we've already had a great community diversity training program in place for our recruits, which involves our community members, and we'll model that for our veterans as well. Social media has been a great addition to our outreach efforts, and we will continue to provide a variety of stories on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube about the truly admirable and honorable work that our personnel perform each day. They are all people, and we believe that as our community gets to know us better, they can see the passion that so many of us have to give them our very best. We've worked closely with Dr. Good to increase the effectiveness of our school resource officers in interacting positively with the youth in our schools. We have already started providing the ABCs of policing training to high school students and middle school students. This training highlights the tactics, techniques, and the training that officers use when they conduct citizen contacts, traffic stops, and arrest situations so that we can all have safe encounters. This training, in addition to that, also acts as a recruiting tool to help us with our diversity. We also will improve the availability of that training, the ABCs of policing, and other information upon request by community members. Our CLOs conducted more than 570 presentations just last year, and we want to do more. They attended more than 1,600 community meetings, and we want to do more. So I am encouraging, and by encouraging, you know what I mean. They're going to do more outreach by more of our personnel, including our community resource teams, our bike and walking officers, and our command personnel. Our recruiting efforts are in full stride and with broad support from the mayor and the director. We have a full press effort going on to better mirror the community that we serve regarding diversity. And if you haven't already heard or plan to attend, there is a recruiting expo tonight at 5 p.m. at the Training Academy. All are invited. We'll have another one on July 11th that starts at 10 a.m. I've also identified two of our patrol sergeants to serve as diversity and inclusion liaison officers to help me and the division as a whole better connect with our African-American citizens and our LGBT citizens. We are also trying to emphasize other efforts that we have in place to increase community connections and confidence by asking the community to participate in our Citizen Police Academy, in the ride-along program, in block watches, public safety, exploration camps for youths, neighborhood pride events, the Police Explorer program, and various other activities that allow citizens to get to know their officers. Each connection that we make can lead to understanding and trust. But for those situations that don't go well, I believe that they need to be fully investigated. Therefore, we welcome this independent review of our investigatory procedures, and I hope to learn if we can do better. A lack of understanding is one of the greatest causes of concerns that we hear. Therefore, I will continue to tell our personnel to reach out and take the time to explain what's going on to our citizens when there are questions being asked, whenever the situation allows. Progress in community policing will be realized when more people throughout our community feel confident that the police are their guardians for their community, not the people to be feared, but people who to call when they need us, or our special skills, our training, and our experience, to sort out their disputes, to solve their problems, and to protect their safety. I believe that all of these efforts will lead to building confidence, providing transparency, creating trust, and ensuring accountability. We are here to serve with purpose, passion, and pride. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. So, today represents part one of some of our discussions about our community. Next week, we intend on having another press event to address some of the underlying issues in our community, with the focus on jobs. My hope is that you will attend that press event as well, because we have a lot to say in that regard as well. So we're really looking for outreach of our department and connectivity in our community in every way we can get it. You know, a few years ago, we changed the logo of Columbus with an emphasis on the last two letters, US, U.S. You know, there was a time in some cities, it's us versus them. And in Columbus, it has to be us. Emphasis on all of us working together to make our city better. And I think this is an effort to do that.
Columbus City Council members are encouraging those at risk for HIV to take a new pill that will block the progression of the disease. PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis, is a once-a-day medication that reduces the risk of becoming infected with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. When taken as directed, PrEP is 92% effective at preventing HIV infection. PrEP is available by prescription from a PrEP provider or clinic. Insurance providers, including Medicaid, cover the cost of PrEP, and assistance is available for those who need help to eliminate barriers to care. Columbus Public Health is contacting thousands of Central Ohio medical offices about PrEP, encouraging doctors to begin a conversation with their patients who might benefit from the drug. Here's Health and Human Services Committee Chair Priscilla R. Tyson.
As chair of the City Council's Health and Human Services Committee, I applaud you for your commitment to now 30 years strong, to making a significant impact on the worldwide epidemic of our lifetime. Worldwide epidemic of our lifetime. While your work and our work is far from over, we welcome this major scientific breakthrough because for the first time, we have a real tool that will prevent new HIV infections in our community. PrEP is about good health for all the residents within our community. And while we celebrate this medical breakthrough, we also know we must continue to keep our eye on the ball. We must support and educate at-risk communities to take advantage of PrEP because they now have another tool to stay healthy and stay well. While there should be an outreach to all segments of our community, we must be diligent about educating minorities, as African Americans are three times as more likely to be newly diagnosed with HIV and almost two times more likely to be living with HIV and AIDS. As we recognize these disparities, we have to address them proactively, and PrEP is a resource that can be and should be utilized.
That was Councilmember Tyson. Also at the PrEP announcement was Councilmember Shannon Harden.
Thank you, Councilmember Tyson. Councilmember Tyson does an awesome job chairing the Public Health Committee, and I'm honored to join her here today. Thank you, Dr. Long, and thank you to everyone that is here. I'm thrilled to join you as we announce the availability of this important HIV prevention tool right here in our community. For the first time in decades, we can actually help prevent the spread of HIV right here in Columbus. PrEP will help protect everyone at risk of HIV, including communities of color and men who have sex with men, both of whom have been disproportionately affected since the beginning of the HIV epidemic. As a community, we know we now have a big opportunity to prevent new HIV infections and achieve the CDC's lofty goal of no new infections, as Dr. Long mentioned. It's very encouraging that this type of care is covered by private insurance and Medicaid. Pharmaceuticals also help provide assistance to those who need it, which clearly helps eliminate a huge barrier. As city leaders, public health, healthcare providers, and community agencies, we must never lose sight of our goal of no new infections and ultimately a cure someday. Together with Councilmember Tyson, I will continue to work with all of you so everyone has the chance to stay HIV negative, and those who are HIV positive to stay undetectable and healthy. We are committed to this goal, and we will continue to fight with all of you until we get there. And today is a huge step forward. I was really excited about this. I remember when I first learned of the PrEP pill, and I am a member of a gay African-American, and two communities that are most affected by this and are still acquiring HIV. We can eliminate new infections. That's huge. I heard about this pill last year, and I said, we need to get the word out on this. We just need to educate folks. It might not be for everybody, but if it is for you, check it out. Ask your doctors about it. I met with my good friend, Joel Diaz from AIDS Resource Center, and he gave me some information. I met with the wonderful folks here at the health department, and they gave me information. I'm looking at this for my own personal health, and I would just encourage folks to just check it out. Just see if this is something that works for you, that might be for you. I'm really excited about these developments. Really excited again to join Councilmember Tyson and everyone behind me in this important work to make our communities safer and healthier. Thank you so much.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to our Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.